visiting with us, and we're thankful for your presence tonight. We're going to be looking for a few moments at a passage from the book of John. We live in a country that is known to be a place of freedom, and it's a blessing, a tremendous blessing. There are people who all over the world long to be here because they don't enjoy freedom, and will often take great measures in order to be able to come here to have the freedom that we are blessed to have. That freedom, of course, has been preserved by people paying a certain price. It has been a freedom that initially came because there were those who were willing to come to a new place and leave behind things familiar and begin a new life. And of course, many things were involved in it. But think about a freedom that goes way beyond what we have as a nation to something that we can have spiritually that is a freedom unlike anything else. Because when you talk about spiritual freedom, you're talking about freedom from specific things that are very detrimental. Think about, for example, freedom from the consequences of sin. Everybody sins. Everybody's guilty of sin. Everybody is deserving of the wages of sin, Romans 6 and verse 23, which is death. However, because of what Christ did, there is freedom that we have and can attain that is never ending. And a freedom that Jesus speaks about here in John in chapter 8. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 31, and we'll read down through verse 36. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31, down through verse 36. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, or believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So Jesus, in the words that he speaks here, speaks to those, verse 31, who believed him. There were many people who saw what he did. There were people who heard what he taught. There were those who believed, and there were those who disbelieved. But those who had the heart, who were receptive and open to what Jesus was saying, were moved by not only what they saw, the tremendous signs and wonders, but then the message that he spoke. And some, concerning what Jesus taught, said, "Never a man spoke like this man." So his language, his words, his teachings, that is, really stood out because he was very different in nature from what they had been accustomed to. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious teachers of those days, who taught the law of Moses blended with the oral traditions that had been handed down for many, many years. And it was a watered down version of the law of Moses, so it was a perverted truth. Could not save, could not actually help people get closer to God. And one of Jesus' rebukes of the scribes and Pharisees was that they put forth all of these efforts to make one convert and then made that person twice the son of hell as they were. Because, you see, these people just became lost. And here Jesus is saying, what I can give you is salvation, freedom, like you've never known before. But notice what he says. If you abide in my word, he says, you are my disciples indeed. There are a lot of people who claim discipleship. A lot of people who claim to be followers of Christ. There were people in Jesus' day who followed him, but following him with your feet, going where he goes, maybe showing up at a certain location and being present during a worship assembly, doesn't make you a disciple of Christ. A true disciple of Jesus Christ does what? Abides in his word. So the things that he has revealed are things that we are to abide in. How do you abide in the word of Christ? By continuing day in, day out, to not only hear him as you personally study, but also, of course, putting into practice what he teaches you, living that life he's called you to live, being willing to be different, being willing to remain separate from the world, to not allow the pressures of the world and the pressures of life to cause you to become more of a disciple of popular opinion, the disciple of your own desires, your own wishes, your own path, we could say. A disciple of Christ is one who abides in his word, and that is a huge challenge for anyone who begins the path of walking with Christ. Because, as we know, most of the world does not walk with Christ. And so you will automatically be in the minority. Not only that, the things he calls you to do are not easy to do. And the things that he says, you abstain from these, most of the people around you will not be abstainers. And therefore, you're going to stand out as the oddball, and that will upset some people. But Jesus calls upon us to be true disciples by abiding in his word. And then notice what he says. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And then he tells us this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Did you know there are many people today who believe that truth is not objective and truth cannot really be arrived at? It's just kind of what it means to you. Because there's no way that we can possibly agree, and it's because, truth is too difficult to come to. Maybe even truth cannot be known. But Jesus says the truth can be known. Why would God, who knows all things, deliver to us Holy Scripture that we are not capable of understanding, cannot follow, if God, knowing all things, knew that that would happen? And yet he wants us to be saved. So if we cannot know what he teaches, and he wants us to be saved, but we can't know it, then God somehow fell short. But God didn't fall short. This book is not difficult to understand. This book is difficult to obey. It's difficult to obey. Because the human desire is to do what we want to do, or do what everyone else is doing. Because nobody wants to be the oddball and be different. But if we are going to be disciples of Christ, we're going to have to learn that that means you're going to be hated. That means you're going to be in the minority. That means you're going to be taking a difficult, difficult path. But it's the path that Jesus took. So it's the right path. It's the good path. It's the path that leads to heaven. And therefore, it is a path worth all of that. Don't we sing that song sometimes? Heaven will surely be worth it all. Doesn't matter what we have to go through now. We're talking about freedom that Jesus offers through the truth that we can know, he says. This is the truth right here. It has been given by God. It was revealed by the Holy Spirit to various individuals who wrote down the very words that God wanted them to write down. It has, by God, been preserved for centuries. And today it remains pure. It remains pure. And it remains knowable. It remains knowable. Now, even though in our world today there are hundreds of different religious groups that, believe on Jesus Christ but teach differing doctrines, that doesn't mean the truth cannot be known. It just means we live in a world that has been confused and that Satan has done a good job at confusing us. In the beginning, you read in the first century, in the book of Acts, you see, of course, the fulfillment of what Joel had prophesied, the coming of the days when the Holy Spirit would be outpoured and the establishment of the kingdom. Jesus in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, had told them that there are some of you standing here who will not taste of death till you see the kingdom of God present with power. And that was fulfilled. And so the kingdom has come and been established, and we can be a part of it. In the beginning, it was simple, because if you ask someone, what church you're a part of, if you ask someone what denomination are you a part of, they would have been clueless, because they wouldn't have understood, because there was no such thing. That was something that eventually happened. But in the beginning, it was one body of believers meeting in different cities and different locales, but they were all taught to be true to the one faith that was delivered once and for all to the saints. But what happened was, is of course, as has always happened, departure from this truth that can be known, that Jesus is talking about here in John 8 and verse 32, people drifted from it, as we always do. And we're free to do that. But the New Testament even warns of the departures, warns of the false prophets, warns of the things that would happen, and they happened. And eventually, of course, there was a wide-scale apostasy that led to the formation of an apostate church that then eventually began to be reformed by different reformers. And so what happened was the formation of many different groups desiring to follow Christ, but following to varying degrees or another the Bible coupled with various traditions and teachings of man that do not agree. What we have to do is agree to go back to what we find in the New Testament and lay aside anything and everything that doesn't agree with the truth. Because look at what Jesus says here. The truth is what will make us free. They didn't understand what he was talking about. When he talked about freedom, they were thinking, you know, we're a nation as the Jews and we're free. And they said, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. Well, first of all, that wasn't even true. Abraham's descendants were for 400 years or so in Egyptian bondage. And then they were, of course, held by their captives in times of captivity many times throughout their history, but they were a proud people. Jesus, though, addresses this in verse 34. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. He's talking about a different kind of slavery. He's talking about a different kind of freedom. Do we realize this? We often want and talk about our freedom to do whatever we want to do, but when we talk about freedom to do the things that everybody else is doing, freedom to sin and enjoy the pleasures of sin, what we're talking about is, I want to make myself a slave. But we wouldn't say that, but that's exactly what we become. Because when you give in to the desires of the flesh and of the mind and you do the things you ought not to do, you're forming a pattern. You're rewarding the pleasure sensors of your brain, even. There's a physical thing involved here. But it's a pattern that creates a way of living that will lead to separation from God eternally if we don't turn it around and realize the freedom of the world, which is I do what I want to do, is not freedom. It is slavery. It is the worst kind of slavery. It is a slavery that is masked behind perceived freedom. But it is not real. The true freedom is making oneself a bondservant of Jesus Christ and living according to the truth that Jesus revealed. That's true freedom. That freedom will set you free, he says here, because you will not be a slave of sin any longer. A slave doesn't abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. And notice what he says in the last verse there that we looked at, verse 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus can make you free, truly free. And he does that through what we have right here, the truth, which can make you free. The truth is difficult to accept many times. The truth is what steps on our toes. The truth is what we sometimes hear and we are tempted to harden our hearts against it. If it's not something that we agree with, if it's not something that we've always done, but the truth saves us. The truth, when followed, makes us Christ-like. The truth makes us holy, like our God is holy. The truth, as Jesus said, sets us free. The question is tonight, do you have this freedom in Christ? The freedom that you can attain in Christ is the freedom that you will gain when you obey what is taught right here in this word. How did people in the first century become Christians? And to what were they added? They were added, of course, Acts 2, to the church which Jesus had established. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved, verse 42. Those who were being saved were those who had heard the teaching, like Peter, And all the apostles were conveying on that day about Christ, the Savior of mankind, who came into the world and who was the fulfillment of the prophecies. And when they were convicted in their hearts and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? We've crucified the Son of God. We acknowledge our participation in that." He said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They were told what to do. As many as gladly received the word were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread and in prayers. You see, there was growth, there was development, all of that because the truth was setting people free as they heard it. So faith in Christ, turning from sin, confession of faith, baptism into Christ, all taught, and when obeyed, made one a part of the church that Jesus said that he would establish. And today it will do the same thing. If you tonight need to obey that same gospel, you can be added to that same church. If you, as a child of God already, as a member of the body of Christ, have strayed or wandered from your faithfulness, remember, the truth is what will help remind you that you need to come home, that you need to resume your walk with the Lord, that you need to dedicate yourself to faithfully following what he teaches you here and getting back on track and staying close to the word, because this is your lifeline. This is your nourishment. This is your strength. Keep close to it. Meditate upon it every day, and you'll stay close to God. If you need to come, we'll help you as we stand and sing.